The scripture this morning comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 35 through 45. Follow along in your Bibles if you like, or in the pew Bibles, or up on the screen. It's all there. Read it and heed. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, will you want to do us a favor? Do for us whatever we ask of you?" And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" As they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one on the right hand and one on the left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right and one on my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not among you, but whosoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you promise me one thing? Today's message could be a little bit sensitive, and you may feel that during the message that I stepped on your toes. And promise me not to walk out of the church during the service. Let's pray. Lord God, you called us to deny ourselves and take up our own crosses and follow you every day. So during this season of Lent, we are here to get to know you more and deeply and intimately, and also experience your real presence and guidance in our lives. Lord, we want to be a Christian. We want to be your followers. As we study this topic of serving and service, even being slave to others, Lord, this topic is hard for us to understand. It goes against our ego and who we are and current culture. So, Lord, we humbly ask you grant us ears to listen and hearts to obey your word and your teaching. We ask this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's children say, Amen. And real disciple with this, today's topic is being a servant, not a volunteer. What is that? Being a servant, not a volunteer. Let's think about what's the differences between volunteers and servants. Are there some differences between two of them? Yes. As we think about volunteers, volunteers often think and approach and do things with this idea, as long as. So, something like this, "I'll volunteer and I'll do that, Pastor, I'll do that as long as it fits my schedule. I'll volunteer, I'll do that as long as it is convenient for me. I'll do that as long as it is fun." But when it gets no longer fun and some tense and serious, I'm out of there. And I'll volunteer and I'll do that as long as everybody does what I say as the way it should be done. I'll volunteer as long as everybody follows what do my suggestions. And I'll volunteer as long as there's no conflict, as long as everybody gets along well. And I'll do that. Can you think of anything else? Volunteers as long as. I'll do volunteer as long as I'm appreciated. Once one couple left the church because I failed to shake hands with them after the service. They've been lifetime Christians, and so that happens. So appreciated, appreciation, that can be seriously. Any other thoughts? I'll volunteer as long as. Oh, their part. Anyone else? Right. Moving to think about those things, characteristics, or we bring these ideas and this attitude to this thing called volunteer or volunteerism. And next is servants. Today we heard we ought to be servants and even slaves of all. Do you like that? I don't. It makes me very uncomfortable, but that's what Christ told us. So let's think about being a servant. A Roman senator and politician, Seneca, said this: slaves do not have the right to refuse. Think about that. It could be many things. Hard work. If you're a female slave, there are other terrible implications there. And if you're a slave in Roman and ancient society, you're almost treated always like a property or a thing, but not as a human being. So Seneca said, slaves do not have the right to refuse. In contrast to that characteristic of as long as, I see servants have this characteristic. That is, I'll do that no matter what. Whether I like it, whether that is convenient for me, whether it is fun, whether I'm appreciated or not, I'll just do it. And not only just do it, not holding the right that, you know, I don't like, therefore I'm not going to do that. No, that has nothing to do. That doesn't apply to this being servants or slaves. And with that, not having the right to refuse, do it, just do it, do it, do it. But to us Christ followers, doing it with love and good attitude. Jesus, in today's lesson, in terms of the context of this passage, is this. Jesus has finished his public ministry in Galilee and that region, and then now he's about to be crucified. You following me? That's the context. So moving from Galilee, he is going up to Jerusalem so that on Passover, he is to be arrested and betrayed and spat upon, flogged and naked, and then humiliated terribly and killed. And then after that, rise again. To that end, Jesus is solemnly and very seriously taking this journey going up to Jerusalem. Guess what the disciples were thinking? All they were thinking of, all they could think of is, while Jesus was talking about this crucifixion, the suffering and death and resurrection for humanity, they say, you know, James and John came and said, you know, teacher, we have one request. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, they brought their mother with them. Some scholars believe that James and John's mother was an aunt to Jesus. Mary and probably James John's mother, they were probably sisters or cousins. So they were pulling this family relationship, this thing, and said, you know, teacher, well, when you become the king, you know, could you appoint me prime minister? Why, you know, what is that, attorney general, those big, you know, important positions, you know, won't you grant that? While Jesus is about to be betrayed and crucified, that's all they were thinking, could think of. And then guess what? That couldn't be kept in secret. And the other 10 disciples, they heard about it, and they got so upset. It was like huffing and puffing with anger. Oh, I can't believe those two guys. Can't believe we're going to kill them. We're going to kill them. It's almost, you know, their attitude is there. Scripture says they were indignant and they were angry. Like loving parents are trying to, you know, mediate between two teenagers. Children, hey, listen up, listen up. Angel, listen to this. If you fight over positions and power and fame and money and wealth, those things, if you are Gentiles, if you do not know me, my teaching, Gentiles, that's okay, but not so with you, not so among you. In fact, you ought to be a servant. In fact, you ought to be a slave of all. Even we have difficulty in this word, you know, you ought to be a servant for everybody. And I said, really? I don't like it. About my right. You mean in this age? About my right. And then even Jesus 44 says, not only being a servant, but you ought to be a slave of all. Do you like it? How comfortable are you with this Christ command? This is really against the culture, totally politically incorrect, isn't it? But that's what Christ is asking us. And how are we handling this? And Jesus, as he was doing this, unlike kings and rulers and tyrants of the world, he actually did this thing himself and asking us to do the same. This is very important. Unlike the kings and rulers of the world sitting on there doing nothing but just giving orders, unlike that, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he did this thing so-called serving, being slave for others, for everybody, and while he was doing this, he's asking us, guys, you do the same. Do you see the difference? The rulers of the world, they don't do this, but they tell us to do. But Jesus, he did this and is asking us, guys, do this with me. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, there Jesus, he washed the feet of disciples. What was that job for reserved? It was for slaves. You remember that Jesus is stooping down one by one, washed the feet of the disciples. Remember this, including Judas. Judas then. Thereby, Jesus clearly lived out his teaching being servant, being slave for others. So in John 13:12, there it says, after he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table and said to them, do you know what I have done just now to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For that is what I am. So I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. And in Mark chapter 14, 22-23, think about the bread and wine. While they were eating the Last Supper, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, take it. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and then after giving thanks, he gave to them and said, drink from this cup, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, cup of salvation for you. Through this, Jesus not only told us, be a servant, serve others, even be willing to be a slave for everybody else among you. Not only Jesus taught about this, he lived this out. Washed the feet of the disciples, and later, not only just metaphorically, but literally On the cross, he gave his body and his blood for us. That's the ultimate example of a serving and being slave for others. The Greek word serving, it means waiting on the table. Literally, Jesus not only washed our feet, our sins away, but literally he gave his body as our food, his blood as our drink. In that way, Jesus, like a waiter or servant, wait on the table for us, for our soul, giving his body and his soul. With that, Jesus is asking us, Gentiles don't know about this thing, serving slave for others, but you are different because you are my children and you are my followers. So we may say, you know, seriously, that doesn't sound right, but Jesus said, you know, I'm doing this, I did this, I'm asking you to do the same. I'm asking you to do the same. And also, whenever a person, sometimes you ask me, Pastor, well, what should I do? I want to be the member of this church. What should I do? Well, what are the requirements? And I shared with you, confession of your faith and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's the first requirement. And then, are you willing to serve Jesus Christ through this local church through your prayers, presence, gift, and service and witness? And with that, I ask everybody who is to be baptized and join church and confirm to ask this question. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And then people respond I'll serve the Lord, putting my whole trust in his grace, promise to serve him as my Savior and Lord. It doesn't say I'll promise to volunteer as long as it goes well with me, as long as it makes me happy and exciting and fun, as long as it fits to my schedule, and as long as it is convenient. No, we gave our word. Christ is my Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord. I'll do whatever my Savior and Lord asked me to do without any reservation. That's who we are. That's what it means for us to follow Jesus Christ. So it's kind of a little bit long, but this is so huge and an amazing truth. So let me try to summarize this. If you can put, you know, shorter than this, you know, try it. This is, I believe, God is speaking to us today. Christ, God, the Son of God, served us by washing our feet, washing away our sins. How? By waiting us on the table through giving his own body and blood laid on the cross. With this, Christ, he asked us to serve, not just a volunteer. Therefore, to us, serving and being even slave to all for God's kingdom, this is not a dirty word. We don't complain and grumble, says that's too below of me. We don't say that. Instead of we say that, that's a great honor because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has asked me, and here's the thing, think about this word, has invited me. How about that? Has invited me to serve with him. The King of the Kings of the whole universe has invited me to serve with him. Follow his example. And that's great honor, isn't it? And then the next question is, how do we do this, Pastor? Everybody, you have this chart. In this chart, if you see a life of service, exploring stage, it is saying that I am often amazed of the way some disciples selflessly serve others, and I want to make attendance as well. What is that? Excuse me, I need my reading glasses. It's a difference. I want to make a difference. So that stage, if I kind of summarize in one word, that is a stage about being curious. Seeing that someone like Craig or John or these praise team people and said, you know, they're different. They have smiles and constantly doing that, serving the Lord, you know. What's going on in their heart and soul? I'm curious about those disciples. And next is a beginning stage. I know Christ invites me to join him serving others, and I'm discovering how God has gifted me to do this. From being just curious, why do Christians do that? It's interesting. From that, this person began to see not only God is calling that person to serve, but Christ is calling me and inviting me as well. That's next, and exploring that, and growing next there. And then is I experiment with serving in all different areas as I discover my gifts, talents, and passions. Do you see the growth and movement from just being curious? God is maybe speaking to me. I need to discover that. And the third stage is actually start doing it. See that? And then maturing stage is I join who? Jesus in mission to others using my God-given gifts, talents, and passions. Notice the word Christ has invited me. Christ has commanded me. So I join Christ. This is an honor. This is not a shameful thing. This is not about me losing my right. This is a great honor. So I'm going to do it with enthusiasm, with passions. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with a loving and grateful heart and attitude. Do you see this? So I'm asking you, pray about this and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me where I am in this journey. And next is, as you come in, this was given to you if you don't have, and you can take one as you exit. And Charlene, our staff, they has put together this information, opportunities to serve God. We didn't put there opportunities to volunteer. We didn't say opportunities to volunteer, but we say opportunities to serve our Lord. Council ministries, worship and arts ministry, outreach and connectional ministry, education and training ministry. If you're interested in teaching Sunday school, children and youth, and then contact Sarah and congregational care ministry. Did I tell you this? I can't do everything. I need your help. I really need help. Last Sunday after the service, I went home. I was thinking, oh, what were you doing? I'm very sorry. My apology. My sermons were everywhere. And my wonderful wife reminded me several times, were you prepared? You know, you kind of, you know, too many this and that direction. And I said, honey, I know. I feel it. And I'm sorry. And Acts 6:4, I read that again. Like the disciples, I am rededicating myself so that I can fully commit myself to the ministry of prayer and feeding you with God's word. Somehow, you know, because of too many things happened, I was not fully putting myself in the sermon preparation. That's I admit that, and with that I ask your prayers and help me that I can do that as my priority. So think about that, how you can help me, and then mission opportunity, casserole providers, serve, childless place, local school liaison, international missions to Haiti and Costa Rica and other places. with this, this is, I'm asking you to pray about it. This is, these are not my invitation. This is a Christ invitation, divine invitations for you to Christ example, following Christ's example to serve with him. So I'm asking you, pray about it. Inside in this church, at least serve in one area, and outside the church, be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Serve Christ in the world, whether that is Charlie's Place, serve ministry, an international mission, local school liaison. Find one place God is inviting you to be a servant in the world. Get it? Let's pray. Dear God, I'm so proud of this congregation. So many of these members, they're already serving you every day. Some of the members come to church as if this is their workplace, full-time position every day, fixes things and take care of things and sweep and clean and changing the bulbs. Someone comes like 7 o'clock and stay till after second service, serving as ushers, delivering communion, giving rider to our elderly members, praise team and Sunday school teachers. And there are many dedicated your servants. You, with them, Lord, you bless this church. I'm so grateful and honored to be your pastor in this sense. Lord, thank you for putting me here to serve with these your wonderful servants. Remembering your word and example of ministry today, Lord, this one thing, help us from today on start to think and believe that our God has invited me to work with him in building the kingdom of God and spreading the good news of hope and healing inside his church and out in the world. Lord, help us that we believe and take this your charge and call seriously and start living this out. Let us all, Lord, be your kingdom builders. Thank you, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.